You're with The Record on KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman. Joining me, Q13 Fox political analyst C.R. Douglas. Great to have you here, C.R. The president repeating at the end there, he's optimistic about America. And he also said earlier in the hour that the big message he got from voters yesterday was get stuff done. What do you make of that?
Well, I thought he was gracious. I thought he was conciliatory. I thought he sounded all the right sort of tones of bipartisanship. What struck me overall was how similar this was to the speech he gave after the 2012 election, and especially similar to the speech he gave after that shellacking in the 2010 election. I mean, I think context is important here. This is a big story. The GOP took control of the Senate, but the effects aren't as momentous as I think people want to say. I mean, he effectively lost Congress in 2010. When the House went GOP. I mean, having the Senate in your party matters, but it doesn't matter all that much if you can't get something through the House. So the question really after yesterday is, what's going to change in Washington that's going to change the dynamic that's been there for 4 years? And I guess count me a bit skeptical that much is going to happen.
The president said that there are issues of broad agreement to the American people. And we here in Seattle can't necessarily speak to the whole country, but I'm curious from your perspective what those issues of broad agreement might be in Washington state.
Well, I think the things he talked about would play out in Washington State. I mean, the areas he thinks there are possibilities, infrastructure, I mean, roads, bridges, the electrical grid, all that kind of stuff, tax reform. I mean, there are a lot of companies here that want tax reform. Exports, easing exports would certainly help. We're one of the most trade-dependent, if not the most trade-dependent state. He also talked about minimum wage. I think that's less important here, maybe in Seattle because it's raised, but you know, a $10 minimum wage would actually raise our state wage slightly. So you could say that we would benefit from that. So the three areas that he talked about as possibilities for sort of compromise here would all help the state.
We're talking over the election yesterday. We just heard President Obama conclude a lengthy conversation with the White House press corps and a speech in which he talked about getting stuff done. He also said that he was not mopey, an interesting reflection on his 6-plus years in office. I'm Marcy Silman here at KUOW with the Q13 Fox analyst C.R. Douglas, a frequent guest with us. And all across the country, C.R., as you mentioned, the GOP scored big victories. Statewise in Washington, that's sort of true. Republicans did hold on to control of our state Senate, but they picked up a few seats in the democratically controlled state House as well. Not the victory either had hoped. We heard from Christine Dillon of Linwood, who said last night she's very excited about the change.
So it's a feeling tonight of excitement, of victory, of not feeling defeated, of not thinking we have to go another 2 years or another 4 years with the same results, but seeing change.
That's Christine Dillon of Linwood. Todd Myers of Sammamish says he's optimistic about what last night's election results mean for cooperation across the aisle.
Hopefully the results will mean that people work together more, that the governor and the president realize that they have to work with the other side to get things done rather than just trying to jam things through. So that's what I'm hopeful.
So Todd is hopeful. The president says he's optimistic. C.R. Douglas, compromise, the C word. Do you think we're going to see that in the aisles of the state legislature?
Well, and I think Jay Inslee is in the same situation that Barack Obama is, which is you don't control the legislature. In Jay Inslee's case, the Senate. He does have the House under Democratic leadership. But if you don't have one House, you effectively don't have both in a lot of ways. So they are in for a huge session down there in Olympia. They are having to come up with more money than they've ever had to in the history of the state for education. It's going to be tough choices. Republicans are going to have to accept some revenue, most people think. Democrats are going to have to accept some cuts. So if ever there was a chance and a need to compromise, it's this time around. I think the table is set for that because the Supreme Court has said they had to.
Well, the Supreme Court has pushed them against the wall. They're held in contempt, and they gave them a sort of stay of execution. They have one more legislative session to do something, correct?
That is true. That is true.
C.R. Douglas is here I'm Marcy Silman. We're hashing over the election results on the record on KUOW. We're going to continue that conversation, but we wanted to touch base with the political parties themselves. Susan Hutchison is chair of the Washington State Republicans. Jackson Ravens chairs the state Democratic Party. Ravens blames low voter turnout for the Democrats' bad night. Optimistically, Secretary of State Kim Wymans thinks 50% of the voters went to the polls here in Washington. But Ravens' real concern lies with Republicans.
The thing that scares me going forward is that I think that the center, the foundation of the Republican Party in the state is very conservative on a lot of issues. And I worry about that core not allowing moderates in the party to really work for compromise and to reach across the aisle and accomplish some good decision and leadership that we really need. I think they're going to be – I really worry that they're going to be pulled back into a much more conservative organization that's really protecting loopholes for oil and gas and coal industry, that is going to be very reluctant to – that's going to be more likely to want to shut down the government as they almost did last year rather than stepping forward to make the decisions that we need to make.
No, Susan Hutchison, obviously you can't see into the minds of Washington state voters, but how do you account for, as Jackson is putting the happy spin on what happened last night, how do you account for the Republicans really holding on and perhaps gaining in the House?
I think voters were very intentional this year, and I think that this election in our state is a real repudiation of Governor Inslee. You know, the governor decided to make this whole election about climate change, but that's not the issue that people cared about in this state. And our candidates kept bringing it back to education, kept bringing it back to the economy. Those are the issues that matter to local voters. And so that whole climate change episode that where Jay Inslee met with Tom Steyer early in the season and invited him to fund the election of Democrats, it didn't work.
And Tom Steyer is a Californian who donated quite a bit of money to races in Washington state. I'm talking with Jackson Ravens and Susan Hutchison about last night's election results. They are the state party chairs. Susan Hutchison, chair of the Republican Party. Jackson Ravens chairs the Democratic Party. Susan Hutchison, let's move on to business that will be conducted in Olympia in January when our lawmakers go back into session. Transportation, as Jackson just mentioned, is something that business leaders have been clamoring for, a new transportation package. It didn't happen last year. Steve Mullen, president of the Washington Roundtable, says if no action is taken in 12 years, as many as 60% of our state's roads and bridges will be in poor or very poor condition. We don't have time to wait. I think industry is concerned about that. What kind of pressure do you and fellow Republicans feel to put together a transportation bill that can pass?
We agree 100%. You know, we've got major companies in Washington that depend on everything from the ports to the roads, the shipping lanes, everything that we can do to help make goods move better from place to place. And our highways need tremendous help. I commute from Seattle to Bellevue every day for work, and I'm just astounded at the gridlock that I get stuck in just about any hour of the day, and it's got to get fixed.
So Susan Hutchison says it has to get fixed. What compromises do you feel that Democrats are willing to make to get a deal done when it comes to fixing our roads, bridges, everything that's in need of repair?
I know that there are Democrats in both the House and Senate that have been leaders on this issue, and I'm looking forward to seeing what their proposals are going to be. But compromise is going to be the word. We're going to have to work together. There's some big decisions that need to be made in the next couple of years, and no is not compromise. Compromise is sitting down and talking together and coming up with some solutions and plans.
Well, while we're talking about what is going to require compromise and where people won't have a pass is education funding. In September, the state Supreme Court held the legislature in contempt for failing to fully fund basic education. It was the McCleary decision. In the next session, it's do or die. So let me start with Jackson Ravens. What kind of plans do you think the Democrats are going to put forward to meet that court mandate?
Well, education's been a high priority for Democrats all along. And I know, again, Democrats in the House have put together a program. They moved it into the Senate last year, and it didn't go far. I know that the Senate budget that was put together that was passed last year was held in contempt, as you said, because it didn't do enough to fund education. So we need to be really serious about that. I'm excited and optimistic about the commitment commitment that Democrats have, and hopefully Republicans will join us in moving forward on some of these important education issues.
Well, I think in terms of fully funding basic education, it's not a question of if. It's a mandate from the court. So, Susan Hutchison, from the Republican point of view, what's the plan? What's the game plan moving forward on education?
Well, first, I just want to remind Jackson, and I know he's only been in this chairmanship position actually shorter than I have, and I've only been in it for a little over a year. So
the new kids on the block.
Yes, we don't bear
responsibility.
Let's just say we don't bear responsibility for the past 30 years. But the Democrats have been in charge for the past 30 years. And so all of the problems with not funding education fall squarely on their shoulders. I will remind you that under the budget leadership of Andy Hill, the Republican in the Senate last year, we added $1 billion to education funding without raising taxes, and for the first time in years, held tuition increases to zero. So that was a very, very positive activity on behalf of the Senate. And that budget, I might add, was passed overwhelmingly in a bipartisan way.
Susan Hutchison chairs the Washington State Republican Party. Jackson Ravins is the chair of the state Democrats. Q13 Fox political analyst C.R. Douglas listening to that. And I have to say, having just listened to President Obama use words like optimism and compromise, listening to Jackson Ravins is like a little bit of an echo. That's the Democratic...
That's the talking point. Yeah,
the talking point. Well, as Susan Hutchison led off, did Governor Jay Inslee make the entire election about climate change?
Well, I think a lot of the candidates did talk about climate change. The governor certainly talked about it. I wouldn't say he made it a huge part of it. What she is talking about is this out-of-state billionaire that did come in and fund a lot of Democratic races, and he was a single-issue interest group. He was interested in candidates who were going to do something about climate change, a carbon tax, or what have you. And she is right. That lost. That message did not work anywhere. I mean, this electorate was not tracking climate change this cycle. They're much more interested in education and sort of tax and spend issues.
Was yesterday's election a mandate for state Republicans?
Well, I think a lot of them are going to take it that way. Listen, these candidates who won these key districts, these GOP candidates, basically all ran on the platform of we added more money to education with basically not increasing taxes. Closed a few loopholes, but basically that's their message. They are emboldened by that. They are going to take that to Olympia. I think they probably feel like their case is even better now. I mean, they gained a few seats in the House, even though it's not a majority. They actually gained a little bit in the Senate. The numbers are still the same, but one who was a Democrat caucusing with them is now a true Republican. So in a way, their numbers are strengthened. Their hand is strengthened going into this budget session.
Talking with C.R. Douglas from Q13 Fox, let's move on to the Seattle results. And here, maybe the one bright spot, progressives do have a few things to be happy about. Seattle voters approved a pilot program that would fund preschool for low-income families. An opposing early child care measure, which was sponsored by two labor unions, was defeated. Measure 1A was defeated. Measure 1B won. The concept of preschool itself won with a giant majority of the vote. Who was the big winner there?
Well, Ed Murray was. Listen, this is his proposal. He was gloating last night, deservedly. This won big. A lot of people think it was going to be close. It wasn't at all. And it's really the third or fourth big win he's had all year. You know, he started the year with minimum wage. That was a big deal. He got a big rideshare agreement in August at the primary. He won this big parks levy. Now he wins pre-K. He also won a metro vote last night. I mean, listen, he's racking up a lot in his first year. Pre-K was an ugly fight. It was an expensive fight, probably over $3 million when all the dust settles, for a very modest levy amount. And it probably didn't have to be. I mean, there was a lot of agreement between the two sides over child care, pre-K, and that kind of stuff. The mayor, though he won this, it was ugly. What he wasn't able to do was avoid the fight. He tried desperately to only have this be one ballot measure everyone could get behind. He ultimately couldn't bring the unions along. So It was expensive. It was ugly. It was divisive. But at the end of the day, he did achieve victory.
You mentioned buses went up in Seattle as well. A very similar measure earlier was defeated by the entire King County electorate. But Seattle voters did say yes to expanded bus service. And that was despite the fact that the actual proposal was written before Metro found extra money to restore some of the service. And so people were a little surprised at the extent of the majority.
The whole point of this ballot measure morphed over the course of the campaign. It started, as you say, saving bus service, and then miraculously, sometime around September, early October, Metro found all this money. So it was like, well, we don't have to save bus service. We now get to expand it. And you would think that something that morphed would cause a lot of suspicion and apprehension, but I think the message in Seattle is, we like bus service so much that we're going to give the agency the benefit of the doubt. It doesn't really matter what we think of Metro. We like our buses and we're going for it.
We're going to give the agency the benefit of the doubt, but Mayor Murray told us that he was going to make sure that an employee went with that $40 million to Metro to oversee the city's interests. In other words, $40 million isn't going into the pot.
Correct. I mean, Metro is a county service. So what Seattle has done with this vote is to basically tax itself to buy some service. So we're sort of contracting with Metro, which is kind of a different relationship than we've had. His point is, I'm going to have a czar, if you will, that's going to oversee that contract to make sure we're getting from Metro what we deserve, what we're paying for, and it doesn't go into an agency that doesn't know what it's doing.
There is about $3 million, or there are about $3 million that do go to the county for, I don't know if it's for coordination or county service. So there's a little generosity on the part of Seattle voters. C.R. Douglas is with us. We're talking over the results of yesterday's election, and I want to open the lens a bit statewide. The universal gun background check measure, Initiative 594, passed easily last night. 591, which would have restricted any kind of gun control measures to what the federal government has put in place, does not seem likely at this point
to
pass.
I think it's not going to pass.
What does that say about Washington voters?
Well, it says that the polls are pretty right. Those were exactly how they were tracking about a week or two in several polls a week or two ago. It says that this is a pretty popular measure. I mean, when you pull background checks for the last several years, certainly since Newtown, it's been in the 60-65% range, and that's what it ended up here. It was a very expensive measure, which was not countered with the same amount of money. I mean, you had Steve Ballmer, Michael Bloomberg, Nick Cantor, all the rest, 10, 12 million probably when it's finally counted, promoting this background check measure. The NRA did not come in. I mean, they had a token $500,000, but for all intents and purposes, they did not participate in this. You cannot win a background check measure that polls as well as this did without at least matching the supporters and probably doubling in terms of money. NRA needed 10, 15, maybe 20 to beat this measure back, and they basically stayed out.
Do you have any idea why that was?
They chose to put their campaign money this cycle into GOP Senate candidates. I mean, if you look in Arkansas, the NRA gave $3 million to that GOP Senate candidate. They give $3 million to Joni Ernst in Iowa. They gave a ton, $4 million, I think, to the North Carolina GOP candidate. They realized that their money was better spent getting GOP candidates elected to the Senate and making sure that no federal gun legislation got passed. I mean, they are adamant that nothing happened at the federal level. And for that, the trade-off was they can live with one state going to background checks.
So overall, I don't even know how much sleep you've had because—
Not much.
Yes, this is your job, watching politics. But what do you think is the most important takeaway that we got from this election?
Well, I think the biggest surprise is that the class size measure, you know, isn't passing. Maybe it'll limp over the 50% mark as more ballots are counted. Polls show that overwhelmingly supported, and yet it's not winning. If it wins, it'll be barely. What happened? I think a couple things. One is that there's different science now on class size reduction. So when people really ended up going to their ballot, there is a suspicion about whether this really will change things. And there's more doubts than there ever has been about whether class size is the right intervention you can make to change outcomes. Is that the best thing you can do? And I think an important part of this election is class size is not the priority people thought it was. And that is going to affect the Olympia discussion on the McCleary decision. That will have a lot of effects.
We're going to see another ballot drop this afternoon at 4:30. We'll have a clearer picture for the races that are very close. C.R. Douglas, political analyst for Q13 Fox and a frequent guest with us. Thanks so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
This is The Record from KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.